within myself have nothing to bring to the table but Jesus. I have nothing to add to the gifts of words and kindnesses and grace that have come from the godly hearts and minds of so many people that have been up here sharing just God's word and what he's been doing in their ministry and in their lives. And I think before I even really start, I felt this need to assure you that we are the same. I think sometimes we think that the people that get up here have got it all together. There's some kind of separation. And so I feel like the Lord really so desperately wants you to hear that that is not from him. You are called. You are called. You are called. And if God can use me, I assure you that he wants to use you. I will get into what I feel like the Lord has given me for today, but before I even go there, I wanted to say I got tickled as you were speaking, Sister Siri. Am I saying your name correctly, Siri? Okay. That's what was making me giggle, because she and I have written mostly the exact same message. So I thought to myself, you know, it's true what they say. Siri is always listening. My daughter and I were just like kicking each other while she was speaking. Like, I don't even know, like, I've got this, but I don't know that this is, I feel like I need to discard the first multiple pages, just reference it lightly and then get to what God has for you, because she covered verbatim pretty much what the Lord had given me. And I think it's hilarious, you know, because the Holy Spirit, you know, was speaking two different languages and the same message. You know, we might be from different physical cultures, but we're from Jesus' culture. And so our hearts are in line and our hearts are in tune with what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that is a grace. I am so excited to be here. I'll tell you really briefly about my family before I get to what God has put on my heart. But we walked into this house in, I think like early December 2021, we had just evacuated our home in Haiti, and we're expecting that we would be turning around and going back in January. And in the months that followed, God began to make it clear that we would not be able to return as we had hoped. And so God began planting a new vision and a new dream in our heart, and we ended up moving to Jamaica. But in this house, we walked in here and we found such a warm and honest presence, such a warm and sincere kindness. And we knew that this was where we were going to be until God moved us on. So we're really grateful for how you guys have walked with us and how you encouraged us back out onto the field when we lost what felt heavier than we could bear. So, all right, a little bit about my family. If you don't mind putting up a picture of our family, this is us when we first moved to Haiti. This was us getting off of the airplane with our dog and our three kids. They were at the time 12. That's Anna in the middle and Levi to the right. And then if Lydia, you would raise your hand, that little tiny one in the purple with the stars on her little outfit, that's my Lydia. She is now 15. When we evacuated Haiti, she was 12. And when we moved to Jamaica, she was 13. So she has spent most of her life in the Caribbean. And doesn't know what she is. She's what's called a third culture kid. You know, she's an American by birth, but her passport country and her living culture have been entirely different. So, and then if you'll move on to the most current picture that I have of our family. So that in the middle is my oldest daughter, Anna. She was married this last June. She is now Mrs. Pollock. She is 22 and is at Wake Forest getting a math degree, a grad degree. And then my son Levi, who was here for a little bit, is 20. He is getting his ministerial licensing up in Rockford, Illinois. So yeah, we're so proud of both of them. And then Lydia still is at home with us. She's my last birdie in the nest, and she's with us in Jamaica. So yeah, that is our crew. And I'm going to tell you really briefly about Kumbi, but before I do, I'm going to have you guys watch this video because it's going to explain it more succinctly than I will, I assure you. All right, go ahead.
Yard vibes are seen. Ice up the black, gold, and green. People are rock and come in. Jamaica things. Yeah.
Since 2015, Kumbita has been developing communities both physically and spiritually in Haiti. In 2022, we expanded to Jamaica.
We love people to Jesus.
How do we develop Haiti and Jamaica physically?
We care for the elderly through Meals on Two Wheels. We feed the community. We support education. We serve through job creation and business support. We have a blast hosting community events. We partner with our communities to complete needed projects. We help with medical expenses and basic care.
We love people to Jesus.
How do we develop in Haiti and Jamaica spiritually?
We actively support local pastors. We support the local church. We teach children about Jesus. We teach adults about Jesus too.
It's one to say you are a Christian, but another thing when you leave it. But I think Kumbita helped me to leave my Christianity. He helped me to leave my Christian life to them and talking to them and show them why we do what we do, why we do what we do, and the reason we do it. And I think that has a huge impact spiritually on them. Even the people right now in La Fione, they recently won, left their house to save their life. A lot of them said it's because of Kumbita, grace of the Kumbita. They can't eat something. Right? But by sharing those help, they see God is in control. Anyways, even though things is hard, they see God's hands by what we're doing.
We love people to Jesus.
But don't take our word for it. Come and see it for yourself.
So that is Kumbita, and I am not going to spend too much time talking about necessarily the ins and outs of what we do because, you know, in the end, gospel work is gospel work. Kingdom work is kingdom work. And whether it is in Israel or it is in the Philippines or it is in the Republic of Georgia, we are moving the kingdom of God forward, right? And we're excited to be a part of it. I think it's really cool as an American that I get to stand up here because I feel like I have a unique opportunity as I sit among these giants of the faith from their home countries, and they are bringing the gospel to encourage you in this one thing, and it's always been a part of Combeat's vision and a huge part of how we do what we do, and that is that we partner with national leaders. A lot of times, I think in missions in the past, you know, as Americans, we kind of thought we had the answer, right? And we thought we could go into a country and we could bring Jesus. And in some ways, you know, anytime any of us walk into a room or in a sphere, we do bring the presence of God with us. But what I can assure you is that Jesus has been in these countries working through national leaders for a long time. A long time. And so as Combeat, what we do is we get behind the national leaders and we figure out what God has called them to do. And then we ask the Lord to give us the provision, the manpower, the encouragement to stand behind ministries like the red carpet and say, how can we serve? How can we get behind what God has called you to do? Because the reality is that, you know, she is going to know what is needed in her country long before I ever will. Right? And so that's what we do. And we're honored to do it. And it looks like a million different things. It looks like connecting to schools. It looks like ministering to pastors. It looks like feeding people. It looks like children's programs. I do a movie night every month, and I teach the Swedish Jamaican children that they're worthy of an investment for fun and that God sees them and loves them. And so that is what we do in a nutshell. I do want to give you an update a little bit on where we're at just logistically. I know I said that, you know, we evacuated our country in the country of Haiti in 21. When we evacuated, it was dangerous enough that we put blankets over the windows of our van and we left at 5 a.m. To avoid the gang-held territories and got out kind of by the skin of our teeth before the gangs went back out into the neighborhoods to stop all traffic. God was with us and got us to safety. But since then, the gang's hold on the country has been expanding from Port-au-Prince outward. And for the past 6 months or longer, our staff in our Combeat house in La Ferone, which is kind of our ministry base where we lived for 7 years and where now our staff lives, it had remained this safe community. And we were so excited that God had continued to shield it. And even as our staff that didn't live in our home had to evacuate their homes, ours remained pretty stable. And then 2 weeks ago, the guys called, and they had evacuated two other times, but they called and said, we've got to go, and we think this might be it. And they got what they could. And you know, when we left everything pretty much because we just could leave with carry-ons and suitcases. And so we left most everything there. And so the guys said, well, we're going to get as much as we can and throw it in the vehicles and we're going to get out. So they did that. They got out, and by God's grace, within 2 hours, the police were in a shootout with the gangs using our gate as a barrier. Within 4 days, the gangs had battered a hole in our wall, and all of our belongings that were left were piled in the middle of our compound courtyard. And what they could walk away with, they did, and what they couldn't, God preserved for Combeat. And the guys went back with a small group of men and some machetes as defense, and they got out the rest of Combeat's stuff, and we are now setting up shop in another area because God doesn't quit on us, and so we don't quit on the things that God has called us to do. So the guys are right now moving a few things into the new Combeat house in a neighborhood I've never been to, in a house I've never seen, God will continue the work that he has called us to from there. We are excited to be in Jamaica and excited to partner with the people that God has brought us to. So, you know, the only reason Combeat or any of these ministries function, a lot of it is at least Combeat, is because the American church supports us. And so it's through supporting work and ministers like the Rhodes and women around the world that we are able to do what God has called us to do. So continue to sow seed into this ministry because it continues to sow seeds. All right. So God's going to have to give me wisdom because, again, like I said, she and I, like, I'm going to have to just go through some of this. But I'll repeat a little bit and see where God leads me. Let's pray. God, you are sovereign. You are kind. We trust you. God, I pray that your word would come forth. I have nothing to offer but you. Be glorified. Amen. So captivated by his love, I became a believer. I became a Christian when I was 19 years old. I was a pastor's kid. You know what they say about pastor's kids. Sorry, Tiffany. I met the Lord when I was 19, and I've known since that time that the depths that the Lord had to plumb to find me meant that he could get anyone. I was so far away from God. I was using any substance I could get my hands on to numb pain that would not quit. I would use anything that I could use. People, chemicals, whatever. And one night I heard a message about the prodigal son, and he drew me to him, and I sat under a tree with my Marlboro lights, and I smoked a whole pack of cigarettes talking to the Lord. I know that ruffles some religious feathers, but God had other stuff to deal with before he dealt with the cigarettes. So I finished my pack of cigarettes with Jesus that night. And he held me, and he began to teach me about this love that would even come for me. Some of you here just don't think that he can come for you. And he can. His grace runs deeper. So I am talking about the love that is God from 1 John 4:7-11. I'm just going to keep looking at Siri because we're just like, you know. You know, we often talk about love as a characteristic of God. It is not a characteristic of God. It is who he is. And any time that love is like manifest in the world, like God is present. Do you guys remember that old show, Extreme Makeover Home Edition? I would just weep in the presence of God. Because God is love, and when you see that kind of selfless giving love pouring into somebody else, God is just present. Whether people know him, acknowledge him, have anything to do with him, or even know why they're emotional, God at that point is drawing and showing himself to people. 1 John 4:7-11 says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I feel like before we can really even move on, we've got to define what love is, because in this culture, we have just destroyed its definition. So we read this with our definition of love and not the definition of love. Love is not convenient. It's not what's in proximity to you necessarily. It is not the path of least resistance. I think a lot of times we think of love, at least romantic love, like, oh, if it's real, it's going to be easy. That is not true. Love is not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It actually doesn't have anything to do with how we feel. Love is a choice. It is a choice. My husband loves better than just about anyone I know. And I didn't really take the time I meant to early on and mention him, but my husband is 6'6". That's why my children are all so much taller than I am. My husband is tall and he is gentle. You know that verse that says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near." He is gentle and kind, but he is strong. I was speaking somewhere last week and being a goofball, as I always am, and I said, you know, I might be the song and the dance, but he is the stage. He is so godly and so strong, and in our current situation, he is bivocational, so I have taken the helm of running Combeat, both in Haiti and Jamaica, living there with our daughter, and he is driving a truck. So that we can continue to be obedient to what he has called us to do. So he is watching right now from a truck somewhere in Georgia. But love is a choice. So I am one of those people that likes to stay up late. So at night, when I see my husband and we get into bed, I am just like ready to tell him everything. Well, he has had it. By that point, he's been up since like 4 or 5 a.m., you know, and he gets into bed ready to like conk out, right? And I'm just like, but I've got to tell you about this, and I've got to tell you about this, and did you hear about this? And he is like, he has actually looked at me before and been like, Rachel, I can't go on. I'm like, okay, all right. But there's so many times that he would choose anyway to listen. That's love. Using a skill that you have to benefit somebody else when it will not benefit you at all, that sacrifice of time and energy, whether it's to tutor a child, to raise a child, to make the most delicious desserts on the planet. That sacrifice of your time and your energy, that is love. Love is a million different things, but the one thing that is universally true about love is that it's not going to be about me, and it's not going to be about you. Love is going to be about what we are giving that love to. That is what it will be about. At some point, though, in our culture, it became about feelings. And so when we read passages like the one in 1 John, we read them a little different than we should. So we're going to just kind of read through it with, I think, what is kind of our definition of love, and that is a big positive feeling, okay? A huge positive feeling. Can you imagine if we went up to people like Darlene and I just said, Darlene, Pastor, I just have such big positive feelings about you today instead of I love you? That would be a little more accurate. Because to love her, I've got to serve somehow. I've got to make a choice for her. So, 1 John, let's read it with those big positive emotions. Just a couple of them, just so we can see the difference. Dear friends, let us have big positive emotions towards one another. For these big positive emotions come from God. Everyone who has these big positive emotions is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not have these big positive emotions does not know God, because God is these big positive emotions. We don't mean to read it like that. We don't think we're reading it like that. But it's our context, right? when Jesus was in the garden and he was sweating drops of blood as he carried the weight of my sin, of the distance he had to go to come and get me, was he feeling big positive emotions? No. He was feeling the weight of the world and the separation from his Father. But he was making a choice for me. And he was making a choice for you. Yet I think sometimes we think that it's meant to look different for us, you know? Ephesians 5:25 says, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Sacrifice. John 15:13, "Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends." Sacrifice. Ephesians 4:2, "With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bear with one another in love." Bearing, by its very nature, means holding some of the weight. It's a sacrifice to bear with another believer in love. 1 Peter 4:8, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." The covering of a multitude of sins is a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. And in marriage and friendship and community, how we feel has never been meant to dictate how we love. I will. In community, so in here, in friendship, at your home, in your family, how you feel has never been meant to dictate how you love. I feel like God gave me this image. I'm a huge nature person, you know. I love being out in nature. And so I'm always going on hikes and finding waterfalls. And so when I think of waterfalls, I think of some specific ones in Haiti, and I think of a specific one in Jamaica called Duns River Falls. And probably many of you will think of different waterfalls in maybe the countries that you love and the places that you've been. But waterfalls have some interesting characteristics. As the water pours over the edge of the rock face, just with power, usually, carving a path over the rocks, it lands in this pool and then moves everything forward. The water just continues forward. And as we've been in this place for the last 3 days, I feel like we have just been under God's waterfall. His love for you and for me has just been poured over us. His grace, his acceptance, his sacrificial love has just drenched us in his presence. You know, when Jessica was speaking, I don't know, I feel like I get into a time warp when I'm in these kind of conferences, but when Jessica was speaking, whenever that was, I couldn't even tell you exactly what she talked about, but she's a praying woman, and the Holy Spirit moved through her to break something in me that needed breaking. We are never beyond God's work. We never arrive. There is no arrival until we get to be with him in eternity. So as she spoke, some things broke in me that needed breaking. And his water just rushed over wounded places. Wounds that are older than my knowing of Jesus. Wounds from my teenage years. just pouring out before the Lord as he continued to tell me that I'll be most effectively used by him when I let him touch and heal these wounds that cause me to get offended. This old wounding that makes me defensive instead of loving. He reached down deep in me. We've been under that waterfall. But here's the thing about waterfalls. The more powerful the water is coming over the rock face, the more quickly and powerfully it moves the water forward and out. Can you imagine standing under like some of the most powerful waterfalls and trying to like block the water, you know? Like you're just trying to, you can't even hardly put your hand down on the rock because the power of the water is just pushing over. But we, you know, you kind of play those games where you try and it comes flooding over your head. But the reality of that is, the reason is because as the water is coming over, it is propelling everything at the base out. You cannot stand under the waterfall and just stay under the waterfall. And God's presence is very much the same. When we receive the love of the Father, when that is poured out and over us and we understand the depth that he had to go to rescue us, we can't help but be moved forward into giving that same love to other people. That same sacrificial love is meant in every way to come over us, pour over, just soaking, and then go out. Over and then out, over and then out. And I know I said this earlier, some of you guys don't feel qualified to go out. I have a word from God for you. You are called. You are called. He is calling you. You don't need a specific word of knowledge because in God's word, it says we are to be filled up and then we are to go out. We are to be filled up and we are to go out. We are to be filled up and we are to go out. You are called by God to take the grace and the comfort that the Lord has poured over your life. I watched some women up at the altar this week pouring out broken pieces before the Lord. And at one point, I just remember thinking of that verse that says, you will comfort others with the comfort that you have been given. So if you're one of those people that this week was just able to sit under the presence of God and be comforted by his Holy Spirit, guess what? You're being sent out. You were filled up so that you could be sent out. Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. But here's the deal. We cannot do that if we stay under the waterfall. You cannot proclaim the good news to the poor, whether it's poor in spirit or poor in body, unless you go and be with the poor. It requires proximity. If you want God to use you to bind up the brokenhearted, you've got to position yourself near to the brokenhearted. If you want to see prisoners' chains broken and released, you're probably going to have to pick up some of the chains next to some captive people. If I've learned anything in 30 years of ministry and serving the Lord, it's that when you are being obedient to love people the way Jesus loves people, you're going to get dirty. Imagine, you know, you've broken a glass on the kitchen floor and you've got to go pick it up. And it doesn't matter how careful you are. You're getting a shard of glass in your hand. And I want you to remember that picture because God has called us to that brokenness. We are the broken. God restores, and then he sends out to the broken. Right? You will get shards of glass in your hands. It is going to hurt. It is going to hurt. I have another kind of word picture I want you to think of. Don't use this against each other in this house. Sometimes we're called to hug a porcupine. Now, don't go calling somebody else the porcupine. But you may know that God has called you, and you will position yourself in proximity to that porcupine, but the quills are going to come out, and they are going to pierce your skin. And yet God has called you to go anyway. God has called you to go and to hug and to love and to serve and to pick up the broken pieces and to carry the chains and to walk into the darkness with the light. You cannot walk into the darkness if you're staying under the waterfall. You've got to take what God has done and go. You've got to take what God has done and go into dark places. Many times we want to help, and this is true of me too. It's true of everybody. Many times we want to help, but we've got this line that we say, God, you can ask me to do a lot of things. But here's my line. You know, this is the thing that I will not do. Love is a sacrifice. You are broken for it. And if we want to see our families and our communities and our neighbors come to Christ, we can pray and we should pray and we should fast, but we also should walk it out in love like Jesus. We should be walking to our neighbors loving like Jesus and praying for their salvation. We have to move forward, church. 1 Corinthians 13:1, if I could speak all the languages of earth and of angels but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Some of what I think happens in the church today is that we are preaching the good news and we are sharing, but we are not loving, and so we are not being heard. And I don't know if you've listened to just like when somebody just goes crazy on the cymbals on drums, but it's actually kind of like it's a jarring noise. And that's a bit what we look like when we preach the good news, but we don't live the gospel. So that's my word today. That is what God put on my heart, that the love that is God is a gift for us to come through us. Be sent forth in this place. I imagined the other day, I'm a very visual person, so, and I knew I was speaking on this today, and I imagined the waterfall just at this altar day after day. And then I started to imagine and see these streams just moving into all these different directions. These streams of God's power and his presence and his love being carried into workplaces, into neighborhoods, to our families. Sometimes it's hardest to love the people that you wake up next to. But these streams just propelling us, moving ahead of us, going with us as we give away the very sacrificial love that God has given to us. Let's go back to 1 John really, really quickly, and we're going to read it with the correct definition of love. Dear friends, let us sacrificially give of ourselves for one another. For this sacrificial gift of oneself comes from God. Everyone who lives this sacrificial love has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not give of themselves with a sacrificial kind of love does not know God. Because God is this kind of self-sacrificing, selfless, giving away kind of love. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Darlene. For God so loved the world. For God so loved me that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God is love. He is love. Amen. Thank you, guys.